DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined once again by Father Robert Spitzer, who is a philosopher, educator, author, and former president of Gonzaga University. He is founder and president of the Magis Institute for Faith and Reason, an organization dedicated to public education on the relationship among the disciplines of physics, philosophy, reason, and faith. He is also president of the Spitzer Center of Ethical Leadership. With Father Robert Spitzer, we go inside cosmic origins, the scientific evidence for creation, a DVD published by Ignatius Press. Father Spitzer, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me once again.
It is absolutely fantastic to have you with us to speak about cosmic origins. Had the tremendous blessing of being able to see a preview of it, and it's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was a little bit of a labor of love, but honestly, it was a real pleasure to make, and I think it's going to do a lot of good, not just for young people, but for the entire audience who watches it. There is a tremendous amount of evidence that's come out, and especially the last 30 to 40 years, from the area of theoretical physics and cosmology, that points directly to God. And so, you know, there are, you know, things like entropy, which is the second law of thermodynamics, which bears directly upon the beginning of our universe. There's what's called the Bordovalenkin and Guth theorem, which is a space-time geometry proof, which actually shows the beginning of a universe, or, and even a multiverse or a bouncing universe. And so it looks like right now that a beginning is almost inescapable. And so what we did was we looked at three major topics. And the first is we got eight physicists, and seven of them are world-class physicists from Harvard and from Oxford, from Cambridge, from NASA, and basically Nobel Prize winners, Templeton Prize winners. You'll recognize some names, Arno Penzias, who was the Nobel Prize winner for discovering the background radiation of the Big Bang. We also had John Polkinghorne, very well-known theoretical physicist, who was chair of that department in Cambridge for many, many years, and actually wound up becoming an Anglican priest. We also had Lisa Randall from Harvard, Owen Gingrich from Harvard, and of course Owen Gingrich was in the astronomy department there for many, many years, and just has written so many good articles about recent developments in cosmology and God. We also had Jennifer Weissman from NASA, and of course yours truly was in it as well. And we had Stephen Barr as our key narrator. He's at the Accelerator Lab at the University of Delaware. So we had a fine group of people who were working with us. And we had a couple of intentions in mind. Number one was to show the evidence for a beginning of the universe, then show the evidence for design or purpose in the universe, taking a look at the cosmological constants and conditions, and then putting all the evidence together. And what we tried to make clear in the film is that a beginning in physics is really a door into metaphysics, because a beginning is a point at which not only the universe but even physical time comes into existence. And so prior to that beginning, there's not only not a universe, there's no space, there's no time, literally there's nothing prior to the beginning. And the one thing all metaphysicians agree on is that nothing is nothing, and the only thing nothing can do is nothing. And so if nothing can only do nothing, and the universe was nothing before its beginning, then we know that the universe could not have made itself into something when it was nothing, because it could only do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then something else had to do it. And that something else we call a transcendent creator. And so so there's implications of metaphysics, implications of creation, implications of the intelligence of God, implications of even God's loving purpose, implications of a creation by a transcendent creator. And all of these things are being manifest today. Through our physics, theoretical physics and cosmology. And so we thought, well, why not get, you know, eight physicists together, put them in this documentary, and combine it up with some really outstanding visual effects and a soundtrack, and unify the entire theme together so that both our young people and our adults could know that the best of what science has to offer is not that God does not exist, but in point of fact, that God does exist. And one of the reasons that we put this together was because, quite frankly, if you read Stephen Hawking's book, The Grand Design, which seems to suggest that science doesn't need God anymore, this is really aggravating. And the reason it's aggravating is because it's just dead wrong. And he has left out huge chunks of evidence. I mean, there's virtually no discussion of entropy, no discussion of space-time geometry proofs. He writes off the entire... By the way, he admits to all the anthropic coincidences which lead to the intelligence of God, and then turns right around and just writes them all off and says the multiverse can explain all this. What he doesn't tell you is that multiverses actually need a beginning, and most multiverse hypotheses today, that at least all the ones we know of, all require a designer themselves, because you have to carefully control the initial conditions of the multiverse in order to keep the bubble universes from bumping into each other. So even on a theoretical level, you still have fine-tuning, you still have design, it's an inescapable fact, and so a lot of us just got a little bit mad that, you know, some physicists were going around saying that faith and science were incompatible, and in point of fact, they're not incompatible. In point of fact, they are very compatible, and in point of fact, physics today, frankly, points very probabilistically toward God, an intelligent God, a transcendent God, and not, certainly, not away from him. And I think, you know, that was really a key motivation for making it. We thought, you know, somebody better present the evidence that Stephen Hawking either inadvertently or conveniently left out of his book. And so we decided to go ahead and make this. But, you know, there have been other really fine physicists who've been responding to Hawking as well. Alexander Vilenkin has come out very, very strongly. Dr. Vilenkin is a theoretical physicist, and he's the director of the Institute of Cosmology at Tufts University. And he recently went to Stephen Hawking's birthday last January in 2012. And he read a paper, Why Physicists Cannot Avoid a Creation. And basically, you know, he goes through his entire thesis. He shows that the Board of Vilenkin and Guth proof shows quite conclusively that not only does a universe need a beginning, but all multiverses need a beginning. In fact, all bouncing universes need a beginning. Even bouncing universes in higher dimensional string theoretical configurations all need a beginning, because they all have an average Hubble expansion greater than zero. And the Board of Vilenkin and Guth theorem shows that every single universe that has an average rate of expansion greater than zero must have a beginning. So he goes through and he reads this paper at Stephen's birthday party. And, of course, Lisa Grossman, who was covering the paper for The New Scientist, she subtitled her article, "The Worst Birthday Present Ever." So, well, you get the point. I mean, basically, mm-hmm. you know, I think our kids especially are being, you know, sold a bill of goods. I don't think our adults sometimes are so easily duped, but our children and our young people, especially in high school and college, they really do have a tremendous faith in science and a faith in the integrity of science. And, of course, we all know that, you know, there are far more errors of omission than commission. So our intention was really to do what Alexander Vilenkin did, to get right out there and just say, what's all the evidence that hasn't been discussed in the media? Now, the media is really starting to cover the evidence today. And in all fairness to some of the secular media, I have to say, you know, PBS just had me on for a multiple-part series called Closer to the Truth. Mm-hmm. I have been on the History Channel. They've invited me on, you know, in their documentary, God in the Universe. You know, the Larry King Show did ask me on with Stephen Hawking and so forth. So they are trying to get the balance. And, of course, they're covering Alexander Vilenkin very, very much. And Lisa Grossman has really been following him. So, you know, if you really take a look at it, the word is starting to get out. But we thought, gee, you know, what better to do for our young people who are perhaps not reading everything in the media, or perhaps you're not looking at PBS, you know, and or not looking necessarily at the History Channel to get the latest on God and the Universe. We decided we'd make a documentary that very entertaining, you know, where, mm-hmm. You know, the Big Bang could basically be in your lap. Have a very reputable world-class physicist discussing the evidence for God from physics, and that's what we wound up doing.
It's fantastic, Father Spitzer, because it's not your typical quote-unquote Christian apologetic. If anything, could I say it's a mathematical apologetic, and it's beautiful. I mean, what you've done is, and I mean the mathematical principles and the way you present them, you show them as beautiful.
Well, thank you, and it is quite beautiful, you know, and at the end, you know, in the midst of all the math that goes into sometimes these things, and by the way, we didn't try to dominate the whole documentary with mathematics, but mm-hmm. math is certainly a part of it, but in a way that's very accessible to our young people. But, you know, at the end, you know, that great little quote from Owen Gingrich, you know, where, you know, he's just been looking at all of the, you know, initial conditions of the universe that would have to be in place in order to get a single life form. And he and Arno Penzias are kind of reflecting on it at the end, and he just kind of looks up in this very innocent way, and he says, you know, I can't prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that God did this, but I am psychologically incapable of not believing that he did this, and because of that, I prefer to call this God's universe. And he just says it very calmly, very innocently, but it's kind of like the fruit of all the mathematics leads inexorably to this conclusion of purpose. And in that purpose is infused beauty, because of course the mathematics is very, it's not just symmetrical, it's not just that it leads toward life, it's that it really is truly beautiful as well. And you kind of see God's love in the beauty, in the symmetry, and of course, in the fact that everything against all imaginable odds, you know, like 10 raised to the 10 raised to the 123 to 1 against, you know, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you have a life form when in all reality, the odds of having a life form in our universe by pure chance, as Fred Hoyle, the former atheist converted to a theist, once said, why, the chance of getting a, you know, a single life form in our universe by pure chance is like a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and assembling a Boeing 747 ready for flight. Mm. And that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, it's, you know...
I have a new favorite number. What was it? The 10 to the 10 to the 123.
Yeah.
You would have as many zeros that would have to fill our solar system.
That's right. Exactly.
To be able to come to the point where we would have the circumstances that would lead to this. And I think the key to that beautiful word that you've used, purpose. Isn't that the key, the purpose?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in fact, that's what all the physicists basically get to by the time they're done. It's not just the evidence for a beginning, and it's not just that the evidence for a beginning in physics really does imply a transcendent creator. It's the fact that the creator has filled this universe with the purpose of not only getting to life, which is 10 to the 10 to the 123 to 1 against, but also to intelligent life, which is spectacularly more improbable than even a life form. Mm. And of course, but there it is, you know, in 13.7 billion short years, all of a sudden these incredible odds somehow lead, you know, over against all these incredible odds, the purpose of the universe surges forward to give rise to a life form like a human being. Just spectacularly improbable, but also spectacularly beautiful.
It brings about a great deal of joy, I would think, at least when I heard this, because as I'm contemplating everything that's being presented, I'm thinking of, you know, of everything from the string theory to the multiple membranes. But even in that, it opens up a whole door of possibilities, because we talk of heaven, we talk of miracles, things are touching, and all of a sudden different dimensions become, everything becomes possible.
Correct. You know, and you take a look at just, you know, what could have happened that would have been utterly disastrous, you know. I mean, just for one example, you know, if our weak force or our gravitational constant, you know, there's these things called constants in the universe. They're numbers, they're values, which control the equations of physics and the laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. Well, if the value of our weak force constant or our gravitational constant had been off by only one part in 10 to the 50, that's a really small window, right? Higher or lower, that's a decimal point with 49 zeros and a 1. A really, really very small fraction. And if it just, those constants had just been off by one part in 10 to the 50, higher or lower, either the universe would have continuously exploded in its expansion, making it uninhabitable for a life form, or the universe would have collapsed into a black hole, making it uninhabitable for any life form. And so, I mean, do you know the odds of hitting those numbers of those constants straight on within a margin of error of one part in 10 to the 50, higher or lower? It's just stunningly remarkable. I mean, we avoid utter disaster for life forms, you know, with huge windows of opportunity on either side, and we're in the narrowest little threading of a needle. You know, and the needle hole is really, 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 really small. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you go, wow, do you believe that this happened by pure chance? I sure don't. Mm. I don't believe that at all. And I don't believe that this came from all kinds of random shooting of the dice again and again and again in a multiverse, because for all intents and purposes, in order for the multiverse to function properly so it can give you all those multiple rolls of the dice, you'd have to have so much fine-tuning in the constants of the multiverse that you'd need a god to design the multiverse. So what difference does it make? All you do is move the design problem back one step. Mm. So, you know, there we are. And I just think what the documentary does is it just gives you that sense of, you know, the mystery in which God works, the mathematical precision in which God works, the beauty and purpose with which God works, And to see these physicists so humbly talk about, just the beauty of it all, I think is kind of it should at least give people pause, and even that sense of, oh my gosh, the best that science has to offer goes right into the mind and heart of God. And that was our purpose, and of course, our purpose was to present that, only secondarily to respond to Stephen, because, as I said, he blithely leaves out evidence, and that's just the way he does it.
When you put all that evidence together and you look at that those math equations, and it gives you that beautiful imagery that you present not only in the DVD, but we see that in the experience of even what we have seen with the Hubble telescope. It's almost as though God maybe isn't giving us his exact address, but he sure is giving us a great map.
I totally agree with that. And like I said, it's a map right into both his mind and his heart. I mean, of course, Einstein loved to look into the mind of God, but there are many physicists as well who like to look into the heart of God, Alexander Vilenkin concentrates, and so does Alan Guth, on a beginning and a creation. But you have also, Fred Hoyle, who unabashedly came out and said, I do not think that there are any blind forces worth speaking about. And Hoyle, of course, was formerly an atheist. One of the almost dogmatic atheists in the world of physics turned right around on a dime and became a theist. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't think there are any blind forces worth speaking about. When one looks at the constants and the equations of physics, as well as chemistry and biology, it seems to me, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there must be some super calculating super intellect that has monkeyed with the constants of physics. Mm. Well, you look at that, and of course Robert Jastrow had his wonderful phrase. He was the head of and director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, and at the end of this book he wrote called God and the Astronomers, he said, the scientists have pulled themselves up, the heights of knowledge using a scientific, mathematical, and empirical methodology. Finally, they come to the final precipice and pull themselves over the last rock and find a band of theologians there awaiting them for centuries.
I love it. Yeah, I think you bring this out in the DVD as well. I mean, this is, physics is leading in this direction. So is philosophy. Philosophy has led the way. Not just theology, but philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, to live in the 21st century is a privilege, not only because of the evidence that you get from physics for God and even for the intelligence and purpose of God, but also, the developments that have been made in philosophy of mathematics in these Hilbertian proofs for God are also rather remarkable. I think the new proofs for God, in fact, I wrote a book about a year and a half ago called New Proofs for the Existence of God, Contributions of Contemporary Physics and Philosophy. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because, of course, the philosophical proofs as well are exceedingly good in the 21st century. So the whole idea, that the new atheism has any rational ground to stand on, it's such a preposterous claim. I just don't even understand it. I mean, you have to ignore just so much evidence. But you have to not present anything from philosophy of mathematics. You have to forget about the Lonerganian proofs, the new metaphysical proofs, and not only that, you have to ignore all of the recent evidence like the space-time geometry proofs in physics for the beginning of the universe. You just have to do a chop job on half of what we've discovered in contemporary philosophy and physics to come out with anything resembling atheism. So I'm baffled by the so-called new atheism. I basically think it's a pop movement. I'm not sure what the agenda is, but I can be absolutely certain of one thing. Scientific atheism is not scientific. It has some other agenda. It may be that the person hates religion. It may be that they don't want to be responsible to a moral agency outside of themselves. It might be that they're suffering and they can't reconcile their suffering with a loving God. It might be that they want to persist in naturalism until they have absolute, concrete, positive proof, you know, for the existence of God. But who is ever going to get that absolute and concrete and positive proof out of a scientific methodology? You can't, because science always has to be open to new discovery. But right now, when you take a look at the space-time geometry proofs of Bordovalenkin and Guth and others, they have only one condition for the workability of the proof. These things are really rigorous and very good, and quite frankly, very difficult to disprove, because the less conditions they have for the proof, the better off they are, and the harder they are to disprove. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're in a state right now where I think the preponderance of evidence clearly points to an intelligent, transcendent creator. And I think it's very difficult to get out from that.
Well, Father Robert Spitzer, I'm just so excited about Cosmic Origins. Wonderful. What can we call it? An educational tool? A defending the faith tool? What, I mean,
it's all of the above. We have a high school curriculum at the Majus Institute you can get from our website. But what we'd like people to do is use Cosmic Origins as kind of their introduction. And if they like Cosmic Origins and this documentary with the physicists, and they want to delve into it more deeply, we have a 5-DVD curriculum for confirmation classes and for high schools, and you can pick it up at Magis, M-A-G-I-S, reasonfaith.org. So it's Magis, M-A-G-I-S, reasonfaith.org. Go onto our website, and you can order it by credit card, or you can go to Ignatius Press, and you can get Cosmic Origins. They have a Catholic version of the documentary with interviews from me. Or you can go to all the other sources to get it as well. But we definitely recommend you show it to your high schoolers, your college-age kids. If they're more interested, we have all kinds of materials. We have college courses online. You can get them for credit. Or we have online lectures, and we also have an adult ed course as well. All of them have study guides and workbooks and online forums to get your questions answered. So we're trying to really get people to see that, science absolutely points to God, and so does philosophy, so does logic, and faith and reason couldn't be in a more comfortably close position than today.
I can't help but think that St. Ignatius of Loyola would love the work of the Majus Institute the more, just continuing to bring out the truths of our faith to be able to bring as many into the doors as possible.
Absolutely. That is our intention, right to the furthest frontier.
Well, thank you so much, Father Robert Spitzer. I wish we had more time, but then again, look at all the resources that are available.
God bless you, Chris.
Thank you, Father.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
With Father Robert Spitzer, we've gone inside the DVD, Cosmic Origins, the Scientific Evidence for Creation. To learn more about this DVD and other works in the series, go to Ignatius.com. The website for Ignatius Press. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a presentation of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.